and welcome to the Global Product Management Talk, what we're calling the Lean Spec
Discussions
series. I'm Cindy F. Solomon.
We've been doing this for a while, guys.
Here with Malcolm Knopp. This is our 15th recorded session.
Yes, very good.
Although we've been talking about it before we decided, hey, let's record this. This is valuable. And today we're talking about naming. So you're listening to blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. You can find the full series here as well as at Startup Product under podcasts. And I'm Cindy F. Solomon, founder of Startup Product Academy. We're broadcasting out of the Porsche workspaces in downtown Oakland. There's actually a studio here for recording. And Malcolm Knopp is the founder of the Engineering Accelerator.
Yeah, as the Engineer Accelerator, we're a professional training program for hardware engineers, giving them the skills they need to be effective in their career. And we are starting our spring sessions now, so they're ongoing. So
excellent.
So yeah, that's very excited about that. But there are more sessions. There'll be another one starting in April and another one in May. So if people are interested, they can go sign up at engineeraccelerator.com.
Awesome. And also, I conduct weekly product therapy here at the Port Workspaces. You can sign up for that at techlimino.com or at Startup Product. Okay, naming.
What does that mean?
So
we've talked, we've talked about a couple different things now. We talked about informational hierarchy, organizing things in an informational sort of a hierarchy. We've talked about specificity. We've talked about block diagrams. I wanted to sort of step out and sort of talk about the names you give to the parts of your project, basically, and how that... This is sort of another skill, basically. Another sort of choosing good names really can help you with communication within what are you actually making. So it's something to start to think about a little bit.
So just to provide a little context, we're not talking about the name of the product.
No.
That's a whole other thing that product marketing managers and brand people and even UX people do lots of research to determine what's an appropriate name, how does it fit, how do they position it, how does it fit within the competitive space. We're talking about a couple of different names. One for the appropriate name for what this process is that communicates it, and it's an internal process. So it has to make sense to the within the organization, who can name it whatever they want, and I suspect that they already have names for their process, although they may not have framed it or recognized they have an official process already.
Well, so there's the process itself, so this is sort of part of why I'm bringing this up is that we've had some, like, the names we've decided to name the process. The process never changes, the name, but the name we give that. We get run into issues about people not liking the name.
Right.
Even though they like the process.
Right, because they have other connotations for the words that we're using for that name.
And so what this is about is just more sort of to say that names are basically the most compact form of a sort of set of information. They're sort of the key to a set of information. And so by choosing names and sort of by thinking about it, you can sort of create a way of communication with sort of by just talking about with the names you choose. You can communicate a lot of information very quickly, and so we've run into some issues with naming this program, this process, with that. And so we have to sort of think about, and we'll do that. But I sort of wanted to use that as sort of a jumping off point to thinking about the names you give the parts of the, the blocks in your block diagram, and we mentioned that already, the features of functionality, what are the names you give that? Because, and it sort of divides that into sort of two main things. One is that by, you can just call something like a server or an amplifier, but if you call it like the temperature amplifier, then if there's more than one amplifier, you can, you know specifically what you're talking about. If you, and it also means that by choosing good names for the blocks, I mean, we'll start with that, it means that you have to really think about what that functionality is. You can't be, it's sort of another way of not being fuzzy and not having vague, not sort of waving your hands.
Right, and we also, we're talking about these names for the purpose of teaching this process, for enabling the product managers, the people who are part of this process, to be more efficient in their communication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems to me that within the organization, within the engineers' departments, they will already have a culture of how they name things.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's a code, you know, Star Wars or whatever, you know, within Apple, the different product lines had different code names associated with different sci-fi things at one point in time.
Well, so that's true. And there's the name, there's a code name for the whole product. But I'm talking about underneath that, so that's the name that sort of, the external name for whatever this will be. I'm talking within the team, you are naming the different, when you're defining the product, you have to name the different parts of that product.
The different functionalities.
Yes. Yes.
The and different the, features.
The different behaviors.
You could, what you call behaviors is, I think, an aspect of functionality.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, this is, and so functionality is sort of everything. So you have to name, you have to sort of separate the different parts out from each other. And so this is one thing about the sort of skill is when you start naming things, if it sort of bounds that part of the project, the product, you know, and then that sort of makes a sort of block a lot of times. And that's why it's so important is that, it you know, when you start breaking things down, you can start making, you can start breaking things down in a way that you can then build. So really naming the different parts. And sometimes you realize you have to split some functionality in two because they're distinct from each other.
So what we're trying to arrive at is some agreed upon understanding of how we're going to name these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking ahead when this is, when this process is kicked off, ideally when everyone from the different departments are in the room, they will come up with their own naming or nomenclature.
Well,
or
I want to make the distinction between this naming. There's our issues of naming the parts of the process, and the issues of naming parts of a product. And so, you know, I think that we will work on the naming parts of the process that we think is clear. What I want to focus on right now is talking about when you're naming parts of a product, and people do this, but I, from my experience, they sort of choose really sort of generic names that don't really transmit
that
much.
They don't convey the distinctions.
They don't transmit much information. They're really hard to interpret from outside. You know, someone else comes in and needs to get updated on the project, the client, or whatever like that. They can't. They're generic enough a lot of times that they don't really sort of transmit much.
So it's almost that we're going to create a glossary.
Yes. Well, the thing is that every team and every product basically can you sort of generate this language that you're going to use to talk about it, and you usually do it fresh a lot of times. You sort of you have some stuff you do consistently, but there's always new things, and so this is not a one glossary for every project or every product. It's you have a glossary that you have to generate within your team for this one. And that's part of the synchronization. Because when I say the temperature amplifier, you have to know what I mean, you know. And this, you know, many times when you talk, I've seen this as sort of email where people are trying to talk about the same thing, but they're using different language about it. And so they think their point got across, but actually they were talking about two different things. And so this is, you know, we talked about synchronization, and one of the biggest parts of synchronization between the different team members is that the terminology that they're using is consistent, you know. And so this takes time. This is part of why people sort of don't, you know, it's a bit nitty-gritty sometimes. But if it's not worked out, then it leads to further confusion later on, you know. And it also leads, you know, you can skate by without really understanding what you're making if you don't name things well, if you don't name things accurately. So I think that this is one of the skills we'll be going over. You know, this is one of the skills I want to teach is what are good names. You know, it goes back into sort of what is specificity and all sort of stuff like that. But
and to what level are we deconstructing?
Yeah, and then how do you know when you need to like split, you know, stuff apart or like, you know, name, you know, break something into two different named things? I mean, this gets very, I mean, I'm interested in this, but it gets very abstract because, but then very, it's sort of the thing itself sort of exists without the name. Like, you know, you don't need the name for it. It's, but the, like, that's functionality can be described in a paragraph or words in a sentence. But the name, again, is the sort of, you know, is the key for that. And so what can get really powerful is that when you have that functionality, and you can then change the name and, you know, adjust your thinking very quickly, even though the functionality stays the same, it means that you can, that's a very powerful skill, I feel. I mean, I think that people get caught up, you know, this is the other side of naming. People can get caught up in the name of something very, very a lot with that, and they get focused just on the name and what that means versus sort of, you know, some the names can change as well. And but the functionality can stay the same, you know. So
how we're referring to that functionality, yeah, changes.
Yes, exactly. But the functionality stays constant, you know. And so this is, you know, so you're it's sort of an interesting thing. You start with a functionality, then you give it a name, and then you say, well, if that name is not accurate, the functionality will stay the same, but we'll just change the name. And you know, definitions without names are sort of an interesting thing. I mean, this is part of it also means that then if you go between different domains, you can just switch out their terminology for your, their word that means the same, that references the same thing. And so it's one of the really powerful ways of talking across domains is you don't get, you can sort of see the commonality in terms of the functionality and then use the different names for things very easily. So, you know, so... This is sort of just one of the sort of things I think that we want to get into. I mean, you know, having that consistent thing, knowing that that's the goal is very important. I mean, you know, again, knowing that, you know, what is a complete description of a product is when all the parts are fully named and people agree on those names. I mean, and that, again, that's where the work is done. I mean, I think that people sort of want to get in onto their bit, you know, their design, their wireframes, their code, whatever. And I say sort of step back and really spend a bit of time, you know, don't get bogged down, of course, but spend a bit of time figuring this out because the speed up in terms of, you know, when you're talking about things later on, when you're, you know, you can talk about products much more efficiently and what's going on when you have good names.
We're talking about getting aligned.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the work, I mean, in some way, of this process. And because...
It's also where the breakdowns happen.
Yeah, and so part of the thing is that you're saying we're, you know, this is the... There's the work to make the product and the work to make the team work together.
Right.
And it does take time. It's not like... You know, some teams, if they've done a lot of work together, they're sort of already synchronized, and that's what everybody hopes to do. But a lot of times you're coming together, and a couple of people have worked together, and a couple of we haven't, and you have to spend time doing that.
Right.
And I think...
In a seasoned head of product or head of engineering or team head will recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
But the product manager needs to be informed to either facilitate that process or to drive that process, make sure it happens.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is that part of this thing is, you know, by talking about this, you get into the discussion about what you're really making, naturally, just by saying, it should be this name and not that name. Well, why do you think that, you know, and sort of, you know.
Right.
You naturally, you know, everybody has a slightly different conception about what the product is. in their brain, and if you can get it out, and this is a really good way of doing that, I think.
And also the process of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Create kind of builds a team.
Yes.
And creates the kind of greases the team communications and the cohesiveness on the team as we get deeper into building the product and as it gets messy.
Mm.
And it's not that this is going to make building the product any less messy.
Mm.
It's a messy process. I was just reading about the creative process and how it's intentionally messy. It has to be messy.
Mm.
But we're not going to make it any less chaotic. What we're doing is we're increasing the communications through that process.
Yeah. And the thing about synchronizing together, you know, part of this thing is about getting people to understand each other. And when you can speak when you can agree on a term, you sort of are understanding where they're coming from, you understand why they're doing that, and then you can sort of, and if you can make that connection,
right,
then that is very good for the beginning of a project.
And you don't have to grapple with every time you hit a new element of the process or the product, of having to, the frustration of having to figure out how do we language this.
Yes, and so, and this is another part, is that, you know, if you think about, again, communication systems, I have this, is that they have a lot of error correction built into them. There's codes and all this sort of stuff like that. But in human communication, we don't do that. I mean,
What can you describe what error communication is? Because maybe that's what we're building this process to do.
Well, so basically what you do, I mean, when you send information over a channel, like in the air, like radio waves or something like that, especially if it's digital information, you get a sort of series of bits, ones and zeros, highs and lows of electromagnetic fields, voltages, whatever you want. Now, there's noise that happens from the environment, from, you know, lightning and the cosmic rays and things of that sort that changes those fields and can lead to it actually corrupting them. And so you don't get that when you listen to that signal, you don't get it all back. You get some of it. So what you can do, actually, is you can build in, you can encode that signal so that you can then reconstruct the missing pieces. And you also can do processes like repeating, one of the simplest things is you repeat the signal, the message three times, and then you hope one got through cleanly. Or you can combine them together and, you know, sort of construct the message that way. So the thing is that when people talk, they're generally talking very informally. I mean, this is what you do with your friends. You don't really talk. You're just sort of saying things, and the specific words you use are not that important. You say thing and, that thing a lot. You use very vague terms, stuff.
But with friends, you have a shared culture.
Well, but it's also not important to, you can, the stuff you're talking about, it's not really important for the information to get across accurately. You know, you can always check. It's, you know, the consequences of the information being lost and not that as important. But in engineering, in product development, your communication is much more, what you say has much bigger impact. If there's miscommunication, misunderstandings, then you can, you know, delay projects, you can lose lots of money, you can have big issues. And so one of my biggest things is that, you know, I use a sort of model as, you know, the extreme model is airline pilots. Is they have a vocabulary, they've restricted it down to a couple hundred words that are defined. And they're, what they mean is defined, you know, because the consequences of miscommunication are so bad that you have to guarantee that your communication is understood and understood correctly. Now, I think that that's very extreme and you don't have to go that far, but you do have to take on a more formal way of communicating. I mean, this is sort of the classic thing about email, is that you don't, you have to be very specific about, don't say the word tomorrow, say the word like the next, what the day is, even if it's today, you like say Monday, you know, or Thursday, you know, because tomorrow, if someone gets it tomorrow, they'll think it's the next day, right? So, and that's a slightly different context, but it's just sort of another example that, you have to communicate in a more formal way. And that means having
a specific way.
Yeah, well, I use formal to sort of capture everything.
Okay.
And part of that is using this terminology, like having an agreed on terminology for your product. And it can be, you can generate it yourself. You can, but I think that that's why it's worth spending the effort, is that the speed up in communication and the fewer mistakes you make are just so useful. And also that it helps you figure out what you're making, because the moment you have to name something, we've said this before, the moment you have to name something, you have to look at what it is, So that is, I think that this is a lot about, this is part of this process, is learning more formal ways of communicating and formal ways of sort of doing the error checking
and
as well.
And so going back to when you have used this process, you have talked, you have named it the product definition process.
Yes.
And from a product manager's point of view, that wasn't accurate because we weren't defining the product. From product manager's definition of a product is much bigger.
Yes.
It's the whole product.
Yeah.
And it's all the stakeholders, all the 360 view of the product is what a product manager's definition is. And depending on who the audience is that they're communicating to, how they're defining the product or the edge or the piece of that product they're communicating is a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So product definition wasn't accurate or it conveyed different things than what the intention of this process was.
Yes, and so we went to the lean spec.
Then we went to the lean spec because lean seemed appropriate.
Yes.
Lean is about taking out anything unnecessary to get to the essence to increase efficiency.
Yeah. But we ran into, when Anka came in, we ran into an issue.
Because spec.
Yes, because of the word spec.
Right.
Yes.
Means very different things.
Yes.
To different types of engineers,
but
it
also has
developers.
Also has a lot of bad connotations of previous development processes that end up bogging things down because the spec was written and the work wasn't done.
As do quote unquote product managers have bad connotations, and that's the whole intention of training them to contribute value.
Yes. So. I mean, so this is actually good. I mean, this is exactly the type of thing as we get into this. So now we said, well, product doesn't work because it's too broad, and spec doesn't work because it's too specific in some way.
But lean.
But the thing for me is that, so we're not defining the product because that is too big.
Massive.
So what we could do, what we are doing is defining the, because I was using product in the way that a user would define a product. I'm going to buy a product.
Right.
And so I think of the thing.
Right.
But when you're saying from the product manager's perspective, they're not seeing the thing. They're seeing this whole...
if I'm talking to the end user, I'm talking about that thing. But if I'm talking internally, I'm talking about an aspect
and
of that
this
thing.
This is all about the internal process.
Right.
So we can't use it. So then what about sort of implementation definition or the build definition?
Okay.
As what you're defining is, I like the word definition. That's my...
Okay.
I like that part because...
The lean definition?
We have two
words we like?
Well, but the thing is they both have the same... They both operate the same way. Is that they're both... they're sort of, So the thing is, what is the thing? I mean, there's the definition.
All right.
But for me, it's that in the product, there's you're getting up, and what we're trying to do is define the thing we're building.
Right.
So is it, build definition, but build doesn't quite work because build is an action, is a verb.
Right, and actually this process takes place prior to the build initially.
So then the thing is that what is the word that product app managers use for... they say build, but that's the process. But what do they use for the thing that's going to be made?
They use roadmap, but that's not
no,
even...
No, but the actual physical artifact or the physical or like the actual technology or that. Do they have a word for that? About that thing that you end up with when you're done?
It's the plan? it's the so they concept.
They don't actually have
to pull out my.
Well, I didn't know. It just means that that's not an accepted word that people know.
So there's two things. There's a huge product manager's guidebook that's. Steve Haynes. I can pull out what is he referring?
Well, and that's
also the body of knowledge.
Yeah.
That I can
pull out. Thing is that there's something written down, but something may not. If it's written down, it may never be looked at again. So it's more is there a generally accepted word in the community that people use to describe, that thing, the artifact
in the process?
No. What I'm trying to do is actually something slightly different. I'm trying to say, how do you describe when you're talking about the thing that like, let's say hardware, because it's easiest, the hardware physical thing that you're going to build, you could use artifact, it's fun,
like archaeology,
but it does, so it's just sort of, again, because I get but that's just me, and it's not so.
It's a concept. It's the end result. It's the goal.
Yeah, it's the goal. But then, what is the so? But that what's very interesting is you don't have a word.
When I think about software, it's
like
it's the code.
It's the code, but the word for the whole thing together that's actually been made in technology, like put down in stone. Is there no word for that?
More specific than product?
Yes, because we can't use product. We've already figured that out.
It's the features and functionality.
Yeah.
So,
that's one thing you could say then. You could say the features and function, the functionality definition.
Okay.
Closer. Not quite right, though, because it doesn't, for me, what I want is something that is concrete, and so this is the part of the thing is that this may seem like it's getting into the weeds, but we're trying to understand each other, right?
But this whole thing is about
we're trying to understand
being in the weeds.
What is an accurate name that communicates the information we want to communicate?
Right.
That doesn't have other connotations or something like that.
In architecture, they call would blueprint be the appropriate?
No,
blueprint is
because
the prototype
of paper. It's a house blueprint.
Right.
So I'm looking for the word that is in the space for house. House definition.
Yeah.
X definition. What is that X?
Right.
So because,
how are we conveying it? As a paper prototype? As a mock-up?
But the thing is, it's...
None of that.
Part of the whole thing is that this is the thing you will build. That's the definition.
It's a concept.
That's the definition. But it's the actual thing you're building. I mean, it's not... And so I want it to reflect the word to reflect that.
It's a deliverable.
Yeah, but again, deliverable is not a...
Right. It's specific.
It's not specific. It's not like it doesn't... Deliverable could mean anything. It could be
any
poem is a deliverable.
Right,
And so that's why I chose product, because product, when you're using it in the user perspective, means
that's
whatever
what
the thing
purchasing.
Is, if they bought
whatever
a product,
whether
software,
right.
hardware, whatever it is,
right.
it's what they bought.
It's what you're delivering to the market.
Yeah, exactly. And if we can't use product, we have to use something else.
Right.
And because product is
unless we define what we mean by product for the purpose of this process.
Well, but that's the thing. there's a certain amount of thing about what do you want to fight against an understood definition or not. And because we're talking to product managers a lot, I think that fighting against that with everybody would probably be hard.
Right.
And also it would...
But it also when we get to talking about how are we delivering this training, I think that would be the first hour.
Is what are we actually... What is the name of this?
Right.
Possibly. It's an interesting thing.
Even in teaching product management, we go into definitions first.
Yeah.
What is meant by a product or what is currently understood as a product is not... even appropriate to classic product management.
But this is really good sort of representation of we're looking for this one word that compresses all the stuff we've been talking about into two words, basically.
And that's part of the difficulty of this.
Yes, the difficulty, but then also the power of it, you see, is that if we can get this word, if we can go to synonym dictionary or whatever and find a good word that really gets it, then you have this amazing, you have this really short thing that captures all this information. So
O'Reilly is really good at cleaning terms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have to go look through all the O'Reilly books.
So
and
we
see.
Can, I mean, so using what's out there already, if it's applicable, or looking at, you know, looking at the sort of, you know, what would be good to use, because yes, you know, product and artifact, but you know, and deliverable are all possible, but they're also all not quite right. It feels like to me, you know, and so because they all don't really capture what we've been talking
it's
about.
It's the same issue with startup.
Mm, yeah.
You know, that's why I coined startup product.
Yeah.
Because all products have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about the organization entity of a startup.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is the sort of thing. I mean, part of the other so I should sort of step back one thing and say, you know, this is really, I think this is useful, but there's a point where you start getting bogged down.
Right.
And so if you, so when you find a name, you just stick with it. Like, you don't have to find the best name. You just have to find a name that works, you know.
and there are people who, their whole profession is about naming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, I actually remember, yeah, the guy, there's some people
we
who came to...
We had a speaker
yes.
at the last Product Summit, their agency.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they went into the whole psychology and cultural and anthropology and...
Yep. And
it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And luckily, when you're doing it in an internal team, you're not dealing with hundreds of thousands of people. You're dealing with 10
right.
or,
and
you know, like you can, you have a much smaller community to agree on. And so, you know, technically that makes this easier. But, and if you're dealing with a subset of, you know, doing product development, that's again, you're narrowed down a bit.
And another name that is misused is agile. This is actually we're creating an agile process mm-hmm. here, but we're not.
Yeah,
we're increasing the agility.
Yeah, well, once something's
branded,
on
the robust.
when something's branded, then everybody wants to be the brand, especially
right.
if it, you know. So yeah, so I think that, but this is great. I mean, the thing for me is that part of this is we've been having this issue before about what do we call it. And we've narrowed down what is the issue.
Well,
because
we're pointing to what the issue is, but it doesn't relieve the frustration of arriving at an appropriate name.
Well, yeah, but so this is part of the work. You know, this is what I'm sort of getting at, is that, you know, this, you know, we like, I say definition, great. The word before definition, but that's much better than where we were before we started this conversation. You know, and that's the equivalent sort of thing. And is something you can do. This is about getting it, and so you know, our understanding each other, our understanding of different domains. This is the type of discussion you have to have, and it does. It takes practice to be okay with it in some way, because it can feel very, you know, again nitty gritty. But I think that this is the type of thing that you can get very useful very quickly. So,
awesome.
Yeah. So this is something else that we'll go over. We'll figure out.
We're not leaving with a resolution.
Well, I think that the thing is that now this is actually good. You say, well, we don't know what the answer is. That's fine. We'll put it in red in our definition.
It's so painful for people who, you know, professionally want to always know.
Well, and that's part of what this is about, is saying we don't know now, but now we can say, what are we going to do to find out? You know, I'm going to go look online and say, what are the other words you can use for product? What are synonyms? What are,
okay.
You will go look in the books that you have, and you will
right.
say, what are the words
so
that people use for
this? So now we do the research.
So now we have...
To see what exists.
You know...
What currently exists.
Yeah, we have a
in
task.
The domain. Right.
And we have a path to the resolution to this uncertainty. You know.
Okay.
And so, you know, I mean, I think that there's you know, this is another thing to sort of aside, but... There's a thing about, you know, you the answer is yes, or it's positive, it's negative, or you don't know.
Right.
And I think a lot of people want it to be, you know, they want certainty with either good or bad. But I think a lot of times when you're doing product, it's the third answer is you don't know yet.
Right.
You know.
And so the response to not knowing for a product marketing manager is to do the research.
Yeah. Well, so when you don't know, that means that there's a task that you have to do.
Right.
Where do you find the information to resolve this uncertainty?
So there's a methodology for that. Mm-hmm. You look to the internal culture, what currently exists, mm-hmm. what precedents have been used in the past, mm-hmm. how have other products, or although this is a new process, but we're not the only ones to have ever grappled with how do we increase the process mm-hmm. of working cross-functionally mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. develop better products.
Yeah, and so this is sort of the thing. I think I want to point out just the thing is that the resolution to this is not is agreement. That's what the resolution to this naming question is, agreement. So there's this thing about you're finding the best terms that have already been used. That may be appropriate.
Well, it's gathering of information to inform the decision.
But the thing is that what you want is not. So you need agreement. If you don't have agreement, then you're this whole process is sort of,
well, you don't have a cohesive team to move
exactly
forward.
Exactly, and so I think that's the goal, is whatever words you use, whatever names you choose, it doesn't, you know, you have decided, you've agreed together that those are what you should use, and that is an agreement. You've already got a success for the team,
right?
You already have more understanding about how each other work, and what you are concerned about, and what you're in.
This process starts with frustration, but all coming together with the same goal in mind.
Well, yeah. So the thing is,
figuring that out or arriving at.
So this is figuring out the names is you really have to get down, and you really there's reasons. I mean, I do not know that product referred to all the stuff for product managers.
Right.
You know, because it's not my background.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, it does. Well, then obviously we can't use that word. It's sort of, it's too bound up in other things. So I will let that part, I mean, I like it a lot.
It's a perspective.
Yeah. But the thing is, I like product definition as my, name a lot.
Right.
But I, this is the thing about the thing itself stays the same. But I'm perfectly willing to change the name of it.
And I'm so perfectly willing to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, it's a learning opportunity to look at how is this referred to in other domains, from the user experience perspective, from the developer's perspective, mm-hmm. and many of my colleagues have written much about this.
We'll come back and we'll see if we have an answer next time.
Okay.
Here's one more. We'll just throw out this thing. So, a product implementation definition.
Okay. Cool. Lean.
We gotta have that in there somewhere.
We
gotta just stick it in there.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Great. Okay. I think that we solved the problem. We don't have to go any further. We're done. We should look around. We'll look around and we'll see if we know. But this is we can come back and see if we have an answer next week.
Right. And next week we have a guest. He's a startup entrepreneur with several successful startups, and I think his background is in software development, because his products are digital.
Mm-hmm.
So join us again next week. This has been session 15, Grappling with Naming. We appreciate your feedback.
If you have any suggestions, let us know. Great.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon.
And thanks to the Poor, to Tech Limino, to Malcolm Knapp, and to the Startup Product and Product Management Talk community. Have a great week.